The United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, has just released a report on the growth of renewable energy around the world. It's good news and bad. The UNEP report is called Global Trends in Renewable Energy Investment 2014. It was launched in the second week of April. Eric Usher is responsible for renewable energy and sustainable energy finance for UNEP's Division of Technology, Industry, and Economics. To get the latest, we've reached him in Stockholm, Sweden. Eric, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much, Alex. Pleasure to be here.
According to the report, investments in renewables went down in 2013 despite our hopes and all the hype. How much did we spend and how does that compare with past years?
Yeah, it is a mixed report card this year. We have been tracking these investment trends for 8 years, and it had been a growing trend for most of that period, and still the investment levels are significantly up on 5-6 years ago. However, now we have gone through 2 years of slowing investment, and the investment we're tracking includes investment in building new renewable energy generation plants, so wind farms, solar plants, biomass, geothermal, and the like, and it's also investment in companies, and this includes listings on stock exchanges and earlier stage venture capital investments in developing new technologies. And it is, as you said, it's a mixed report card. The reality is investment is down a little bit. The industry grew, went through an explosive growth period for a number of years, but then globalization and a number of other forces drove it into some difficult situation in the last couple of years. It was very large manufacturing expansion, not only in, but largely in China, but also in other regions. And actually, for the last couple of years, there had been, within the industry, some consolidation, some distress, some bankruptcies. And so the report card now is actually that investment has slowed a little bit, but the fundamentals are starting to return. And one of the most important signals is that the solar industry, which is the largest renewable energy industry today, the companies have now returned to profitability after about a 3-year period where they were contracting. When you get profitability within the companies, the stock markets have responded, and so the first time in a number of years, the stock prices are up, the indices are also pointing up. So it's a mixed report card. Sum up, the fundamentals returning, but the overall investment level has been slowing a little bit. And the reasoning for that slowing, well, there's two. One is good, because the cost of these technologies is coming down, particularly solar. So we actually are seeing more systems being installed for less investment. And the negative side of it is policy uncertainty. In many regions is, on the negative side, just slowing down investors' willingness to put capital into the space.
Right. Will there be a carbon price? Will there be a carbon tax? What's going to happen with the governments? The policy just isn't in place.
That's exactly the case. And another reality is there's carbon policies, there's renewable energy policies, there's fossil fuel subsidies policies, so policies that affect the conventional technologies. It's overall a period of uncertainty, and although investment is slowing a little bit in renewables, it's also slowing in fossil generation, and from an environmental perspective, that's a good thing, although we would like to see renewables continuing to increasingly outpace new investment in fossil fuel.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Are things like big solar farms or wind farms, how much do they account for the new investment in energy, say, compared to coal plants?
Okay, so just to give you some of the headline numbers, last year in renewable energies, and we track mostly the new technologies, so it's solar, wind, geothermal and the like, we track to a limited extent large hydro, although the trajectory of large hydro is that it slowed down a long time ago. So although there are new large hydro plants being built, including in Canada, the United States, Brazil, China, but at a much slower growth phase than the new renewables. The new renewables investment in 2013 total was about $214 billion. That's 14% lower than the previous year. However, it is up about five times what happened in 2004, so 10 years earlier. Now, that $214 billion, of that, the largest share of that was in building generating capacities, the new solar farms, wind farms. And you can compare that with investment in fossil fuels. And they're quite similar. It depends how you compare it. But in terms of the global generating mix, so how many power stations were built last year, 44% of them were renewable. and the remainder was fossil, mostly fossil, a very small amount for nuclear. So nearly half is renewable today. In terms of the investment, if you count all new fossil fuel plants built, they're still larger in terms of investment than renewables. But a lot of that fossil investment is replacing old plants. If you only look at new generating capacity, that's new plants that are being built, then renewables outpaces fossil fuels by quite a bit. It's about 2-to-1. So globally, twice as much investment going into these new technologies than to expanding the fossil fuel generating park. So that there is some good news there. And we start to see at a global scale in terms of the climate challenge that renewables are starting to deliver at scale part of the solution of what's required. And our estimate is about, in the UN, we try to map out in terms of what countries are doing, how far are we going towards addressing climate change to try to keep the temperature increase below 2 degrees. And we still see that there's a gap in what's planned and that more efforts will be required. The renewables that have been built in the last 10 years fill about 10% of that gap. So they're not solving the problem entirely, but they are starting to play a fairly reasonable role.
Do we know how much carbon dioxide was saved by using renewables, say in 2013, instead of fossil fuels?
Yeah, about, the estimate is around 1.2 gigatons. And as I said, the gap that we're trying to fill is about 10 gigatons. Now, that gap is on top of what governments are already doing, and there is quite a bit of activity going on. Through putting prices on carbon, but also through various policies, including renewable energy policies. So it is a sizable amount. A sizable industry has been built in just the last decade. So there is some good news. There is a significant number of policies put in place, and today you have over 100 countries with renewable energy policies that are supporting the deployment. However, there has been challenges with those policies being rescinded, and in Europe, there's been a lot of challenges in a number of countries about policies being pulled back. So the industry has gone through some difficult periods and basically uncertainty, or if we build this plant, are we going to get paid for the power that we generate? One of the stories, interestingly, developing in certain regions of the world, particularly Latin America and countries like Chile and Brazil, parts of Africa, and in some other countries, even places like Spain, we're starting to see these plants getting built with no subsidy. And essentially, they're just competing in open markets with gas plants. And so this issue of cost effectiveness is really they're coming into their being. The cost reductions have been quite significant in the last number of years. And so that's one positive signal, although still much more needs to be done. And there's a challenge to governments and to economies as a whole. How much support you put into this industry, how much do you focus on getting the energy price right? And it's a very subsidized industry overall. To give you some numbers, there's about $100 billion of support subsidies that goes for renewables and about $500 billion in direct subsidies to fossil fuels and $700 billion in indirect subsidies. And so you can do some more to help renewables. Or you can say, well, maybe what we should do is we should reduce some of the subsidies we're putting into fossil fuels, and that creates more of a level playing field.
Yes, you get the future you pay for. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. We're talking with Eric Usher at the United Nations Environment Program about a new report on renewable energy spending. Let's talk about a couple of countries that are mentioned in the report. What is happening with renewable energy in China? I know that's a huge question, but give us a little bit of a picture of what's happening in China.
I mean, China has been a fantastic success story in building out this sector. They were very much on an export-driven growth until about 2 years ago. And then as started, their main export market started to slow down. They just then turned domestic and have essentially grown industries, particularly wind and now solar, from very little capacity to very significant actors. And they are by far the largest market for renewable energy globally. In 2013, they, for the first time, surpassed Europe as a whole. Up until then, Europe as a region had been leading in overall investment, and now China is by far number one. And that's both in manufacturing, in most of the sectors, and also in deploying the technology domestically.
All right. And another interesting case, after the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan, has that country gone for safer energy options?
Well, yes. I mean, Japan is one of the few countries where the investment has significantly increased. Their investment went up 80% in the past year. They have brought a very significant capacity online. Now, as I think many people are well aware, that they essentially shut down their nuclear industry, put on ice their existing reactors, the ones that were put out of commission by Fukushima and their other ones, and had a very large capacity gap to fill. Partly they're doing that with renewables. And I think credit to the industry, the dynamic of the energy sector has changed, because in the past, you planned power plants. It took 3, 4, 10, 15 years to build a power plant. Today, power plants are being built in months, not years. Solar is an unbelievable story that you can plan, construct, and commission a plant in less than a month. And these are large-scale plants. And so we've seen in a country like Japan, when they get the price right, the industry can move in very quickly.
Okay, well, I'm curious, does UNEP consider spending on nuclear energy as renewable?
I mean, it's not considered a renewable technology, and it depends how you look at it. Certainly, there are various views that from a climate perspective, probably you will need a future for nuclear within the overall climate picture. But most of the work, and this is where we look, is where the market's going. And the dynamic nature of the energy sector today makes it very difficult to invest in very large, slow-to-develop projects. So governments, the incentives they're providing to the renewables industry are mostly larger than to renewables today, and yet the industry investment is very, very small. And the risks involved and the long-term certainty required to build those projects essentially are saying that the market is not interested. Now, it's not to say that renewables are always easy to build, but the real competition for renewables today is gas. And essentially where we see regions that have significant domestic capacity of gas or cheap coal, it's quite difficult to compete with that. And certainly in the U.S. with the low cost of gas, that has created a real challenge for renewables in the last 1 to 2 years. In other markets, gas has not been so cheap for various reasons, and their renewables is often on a stronger footing to compete.
You know, I was surprised at some of the countries who did spend more on renewable energy in 2013, and they include Canada, Chile, Israel, and New Zealand. Do we know why there's more spending? I mean, look, Canada's the tar sands capital, and yet when you go through southern Alberta, there's great big wind farms turning there. It's a paradox.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's go back a couple of years, and Texas was one of the largest markets. There's a very large wind resource. And when you have it, you should make use of it. So yeah, Canada has been positive in the last couple of years. It was definitely much slower than Europe to get going. And the comparable resources are actually larger, quite a bit larger, particularly in wind. But there was also significant solar capacity. I mean, it's a very dynamic market. And if you're a manufacturer, you're selling into a global business. You get stability because there are many markets. Some will go up and some come down, but overall you're selling into a global product into a market that you'll have some stability in buyers and sellers. It's a new industry, and it's a new industry that countries and companies have to decide whether they're going to play a role and strategically position scale-up manufacturing or whether they're going to stand out. And what we're seeing in many industries, for instance, utilities in Europe, the electricity companies, a lot of them have been blindsided because the renewables have come in, they've turned around the model, and they've actually made it very challenging for utilities to survive. I think the message of following the investment trends is beware, industries are changing, and you have to decide, you know, are you going to be leading this change, or are you going to sit back and wait for change to come to you?
Is it only wealthy countries that can invest in renewables? How does spending by developing countries compare to developed ones?
Yeah, I mean, the spending in developing countries has grown year on year. This past year, there's the first time we've seen a slowdown. But generally, the stability of the growth has been stronger or more stable in developing countries. And that's because the main driver is energy demand. They're expanding their power systems, and renewables is one option that drives or that helps drive that sector growth. In Western, Northern countries, the driver has often been carbon price, or it's been pricing on different aspects of greening the energy sector. The problem with that is that the policy uncertainty has been challenging. And so for many investors, they're starting to realize that the real future for the energy industry globally, renewables or otherwise, is in the emerging markets. That's where most of the growth is going to be going forward. And we're seeing that response now, that a lot of the investment uptick, the most exciting markets are in places like Africa, certainly Asia and Latin America.
Tidal power, it seems missing in action. Do you think that will develop eventually? Is it even on the screen?
Yeah, it's at the early stage of development, like other technologies. And this report doesn't cover so closely energy efficiency, but it's a little bit similar that, you know, you have new technologies, and early on it's very hard to see their future. In biofuels, we still see that technology is playing out. And it's very hard to, if you're a technology company, picking the right technology, well, it's like any innovation business. I think the reality is this isn't really one sector. There are many actors and technology players within it. Some will win and gain market share, and some will lose over time.
And what about carbon capture and storage? Is the world spending enough to make that work, or is lack of investment a sign that investors don't think it will work?
It's very challenging. The hopes have, I think, to some extent diminished in the sector, at least in the near term. Policy uncertainty is essentially a killer for CCS, carbon capture and storage, because the only reason it exists is because of the climate element of the system. The advantage of a wind farm is it produces power, and that power is clean. CCS doesn't produce anything, and the problem is that the projects are so expensive that investors have not been willing to put their money in, and therefore the number of projects in development has decreased, even with some large-scale government programs, including in Europe, to try to get the large-scale projects started. From the climate perspective, CCS definitely has been falling behind. And I think if you look at the global modeling expectation of which technologies we're going to rely on to solve this problem, the share between CCS and renewables has very much shifted in the last couple of years towards renewables.
Now, something I'm not clear about, and I think you did talk to us a little bit about it earlier in the interview, is how big an investment we need to make in renewable energy each year to have a hope of staying below 2 degrees C of warming. I know it's complicated, but do we have a map of what needs to happen?
You know, this report does not focus on projecting forward. What we're trying to do is learn what's happening today, and therefore there are many models for how we can solve the problem. The issue is it's not realistic to say that renewables is going to be the whole solution, and therefore you need to go beyond. You need to look at reducing deforestation. You need to look at energy efficiency in buildings. You need to look at low carbon transport. So I can't give you one number for that. I can say that of the overall response to climate change, renewables is by far the most concrete today, in that governments, going back 10 years, started to take action, put in place some policies, industry responded, and today we see a significant piece of the climate puzzle being addressed. That's not enough, and a lot more will be needed, whether it's 5 times or 7 times more. As I said, right now we're filling 10 to 12% of this gap that needs to be filled by 2020. Does that mean we need to scale up the renewable industry 10 times? It depends who you speak to. You'll get slightly different or very different answers.
And where will the money come from? I mean, we have the World Bank. We have big national funds like the Norwegian Investment Fund. We have private investment, the whole Wall Street crowd. Do you track some of that? And if so, what's your feeling about it?
Yeah, I mean, part of the more recent excitement is the issue of how do you get large-scale investment, and this is what we talk about, institutional investors, the groups like the pension funds or the insurance companies or these sovereign wealth funds, like in Norway or like in the Middle East. And the issue is these investors are not interested in very risky investments. They put their money in places their shareholders or their taxpayers, pension holders, want them to invest in things that are low risk and certain for a long period. Typically, up until now, they have not been very active in this space, but we are seeing a new engagement, and there are things like tools to engage them. We have these green bonds that have significantly scaled up recently, and we get some really interesting transactions. Toyota doing a green bond to finance their Priuses. Electricité de France, the big utility there, doing a green bond to finance all of their renewables activity. So we're seeing different types of tools in the United States, which traditionally has been a leader in financial innovations. They're going forward with a number of very interesting new models, essentially of how do you finance 20 to 30-year infrastructure projects, these renewables plants, using very low cost of capital structures. And now these instruments often are very policy reliant, therefore they're not global. They're specific in what you get in the U.S. or Canada or elsewhere. But there's a lot of promise there that investors are starting to realize that these plants are low risk. You build them, the wind is easier to project than the price of fuel for a fossil fuel plant. And therefore, the investors are getting comfortable to say, oh, okay, we can make a 20 to 30 year investment in these sectors.
Good.
So there is some promise, but the scale of the engagement will still need to increase significantly.
From Stockholm, Sweden, we've been talking with Eric Usher, a renewables expert with the United Nations Environment Program. Find links to their new report, Global Trends in Renewable Energy Investment 2014, at the UNEP website or in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.info. Thank you so much for talking with us, Eric.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Connect with Radio EcoShock. Email me, radio@ecoshock.org. It's Radio EcoShock on Facebook and our new SoundCloud page. Pound EcoShock on Twitter to get weekly show reminders. Download all our past programs as free MP3s from our website at ecoshock.org. And make sure you get all the links to follow up on this program in my weekly Radio EcoShock show blog, published every Wednesday at ecoshock.info. I'm Tell 'em What You Really Think, Alex Smith. Thank you for listening and caring about your world.